It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle. Still here at the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed Blue and White. Drink Blue and Light. We broke down the Big Ten East Division. Just a real quick overview on each of the teams, the issues that they have, the storylines that you need to follow. I'm sure we'll break down specifically Penn State's schedule and all the teams on it in future weeks as we really shift gears here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, looking ahead to 2019. But just wanted to do the same thing now in the Big Ten West. Just give a quick feel for who's back and what the keys are in that division. And I think you got to start something like this with Wisconsin, given the way that they've managed to dominate the Big Ten West in general over the last 5 years.
Yep.
They've got a stronghold there on the top spot, but I think they showed a little vulnerability last year, going 8-5, lost to Northwestern, they lost to Minnesota. Jonathan Taylor back after rushing for almost 2,200 yards with 16 touchdowns. He's a Heisman Trophy contender. He's the centerpiece of the offense. He's the guy that you know is coming. It's then up to you whether you're going to stop it or not. But my question, I guess, is what else do they have that makes you afraid? You know, some inexperienced quarterback play, assuming Jack Cohn is going to be the job. A whole new starting five on the offensive line, which – you know, Wisconsin, if you wanted to carve out any reputation, big running backs and big offensive linemen,
right,
guys that'll be ready. I don't have any doubts that Paul Chris and his staff are going to get a new set of offensive linemen ready. They're going to be up to the challenge. But it is something to watch. You know, if they're not invincible up front and Jonathan Taylor is the focal point and the only real threat seemingly on that offense, what is this offense going to be? But I think, you know, they've been machine-like in the way that they've gone about their business. They're the most comfortable team probably in the nation of being in their own skin. You know, they know who they are. They play to that. They don't care much. They haven't really been one to be put together top 10 recruiting classes or anything like that. They know what they're looking for. They know what they're trying to do. I just have questions whether they're going to be able to do it at a level that warrants, you know, double digit wins. I think they're going to be more in the 9-4 type category again this year and might be a threat to not win the West Division again.
I have a hard time seeing it happening, quite frankly. I mean, yeah, they have Jonathan Taylor. Yes, he's at a star, but like you mentioned, the offensive line's in a bit of a rebuild and they need a new quarterback. And the quarterback play has not been good there, to say the least, the last couple of seasons. So there's not really a whole lot of reason to have optimism to think that will suddenly improve in 2019. So no line, no quarterback, and you know the crossover draw was brutal. They play Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State. And they have to go to Nebraska and to Minnesota. So you put all those things together, Dustin, and what reason would you have to back the Badgers to win the Big Ten West? I think there's too many question marks and too difficult of a schedule for them to get back there again.
And this is the interesting position that the West is in, where Wisconsin's been the team that has been they're the team to beat every year. I still think they're the team to beat. And I know they didn't win the division last year, but I still think you have to go into every year until it's proven otherwise, saying Wisconsin is the team that you got to knock off if you want to win the division. But you have Wisconsin with that feels like they're trying to hold on, and you've got these other programs that seem to be on the rise. We'll talk about those in just a moment, but how about Northwestern winning the Big Ten West last year, 9-5. They played in the Big Ten championship game. They started the year 1-3 with their usual bad losses. This time Akron and Duke got them, but they won 7 out of 8 to win the West Division. They could be a contender again. They bring in Hunter Johnson, who's a former 5-star prospect, who's transferred in from Clemson. I think a lot depends on how his ability to play, at a high level. But you have some big time linebackers back in Patty Fisher, who I think I saw that, you know, there's some first round consideration for Patty Fisher. Like he's not just a undersized, big hearted linebacker for Northwestern. He's a guy who's going to be playing on Sundays. Blake Gallagher as well. They have a bunch of tests early. I think it's just hard for me to think that Northwestern could be anything more than what they've been every single year. And what that usually is, there's going to be a bad 3 or 4 game stretch that's going to cost them any shot at doing anything of note. They're going to beat a couple teams that you think they have no business beating, especially after they lose a game or two to teams they had no business losing to. It's just the Northwestern way, and this team, it's not an invincible roster or anything. It's just hard to believe that they're going to be anything different than they've been, which is a tale of two seasons. Every single year, tale of two seasons. Northwestern either starts out hot and they have a rough month, or they have a rough month and then they close hot, which is what they did last year. We don't have any reason to believe otherwise.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty much been the story of Pat Fitzgerald's career. So, I mean, and obviously, you know, it's not like they have been habitually the defenders of the Big Ten West crown. So that is, you know, that is something to keep in mind, too. You look at the schedule this year, I mean, I think that there's some manageable parts of it, but they're going to start the season in all likelihood with a loss to Stanford. Wisconsin and Nebraska, Ohio State on the schedule, probably all losses. And then, you know, from there, I mean, could they, you know, so you're looking at 1-2, you know, Michigan State's a home game. They might win that. But, I mean, this looks like an interesting team that's maybe a little bit too ordinary to make a run. But I guess the flip side, though, Dustin, is that's the thing about the Big Ten West. Any team, even if it's a little bit ordinary, can lose games and not have a shot at the college football playoff, but certainly waltz to the Big Ten West. Because I think all these teams are, you know, they have one big flaw, each of them does. And I think that's going to lead to a lot of average play, a lot of average games, and some upsets down the stretch.
We're looking ahead to the 2019 season here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We also wanted to let you know the 409 Tailgate Club guys will be in Berwick on Saturday, July 27th for a barbecue and wine event. It's at Freeze Farm Winery, and it benefits Penn State's chapter of Uplifting Athletes. Great barbecue from the guys, great wine as well. Also beer from the Berwick Brewery and some live music. I went last year's. It's a really cool, relaxed, fun scene. Great food. I think anywhere the 409 Tailgate Club guys are, that's where I want to be. Because in addition to doing some really good sauces, we've talked about that a lot here on this show. Andrew, and Jeremy, they just have a way of grilling it to perfection too. So it's worth showing up for if you're going to be anywhere in the vicinity of Berwick. You can go to tailgatewine.com, and right on the front page, you'll see a button for the event that will take you to all the details. Once again, tailgatewine.com for more information. So Nebraska, Minnesota, Purdue, I'm going to lump them in the same category in the Big Ten West. They're the programs with coaches they hope are young rising stars, and it's almost feels like a race to establish themselves first. And I think Nebraska is considered the favorite to win that race, but Minnesota and Purdue have some good things going too. Let's look at Nebraska for starters. There's a lot of belief in Scott Frost as a head coach. There's a lot of belief for good reason that Adrian Martinez can be a high level quarterback, a dual threat, maybe one of the best in the country as a runner / thrower. We'll get a chance early in the year, September 28th against Ohio State, to deliver some kind of statement. You remember last year they started out 0-6. They got hot down the stretch. The question is, how far can they go? Beyond Adrian Martinez, is the roster build for Scott Frost? Where is that at? I just think that there's going to be probably too many holes in that roster to expect huge things from them. But with a guy like Adrian Martinez, and with a coach that, you know, I personally believe in Scott Frost to be a really good leader for this program, you know, they have a chance to make some noise, but I think they're gonna lose at least a few games just because they're not quite where Scott Frost wants the roster to be, just top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, I think that anytime somebody comes in and goes 4-8, there's some reason for doubt or for muted optimism. But, you know, Scott Frost is a guy who clearly has turned many programs around in the past and has a vision for his Cornhuskers. So the question then is, this the year that vision is realized? And I agree with you. I think they're just a little bit too far away still. I think that they found some nice pieces via recruiting and that they have some good talent, but kind of like Minnesota, I don't think they're quite there yet. I think they have enough pieces to be competitive. I don't think they have enough to be over the top competitive. And that's basically what everybody's waiting for at this point.
Purdue, I think a big win getting Jeff Brohm back. He came back, re-upped, resisted the temptation to go elsewhere. They finished 6-7 last year, but I think that record probably doesn't do the encouragement justice. I think there were some up and down tendencies, again, just because Purdue wasn't where, kind of like Nebraska, they were just weren't where they needed to be top to bottom on both lines, on the offense, on the defense. Had Rondale Moore, a big time playmaker. He's back again. Elijah Sindelar is the likely starting quarterback. A lot of the defense is back. You figure a year of growth puts Purdue in a position to probably do a little bit better this year. They're a year ahead of where Scott Frost is in his build at Nebraska. I would say pretty similar things about Minnesota. You know, PJ Fleck, it's his third season. They're a year. I think the Minnesota, the Purdue, and the Nebraska builds all feel the same to me, that they had to start recruiting at a high level and developing players and getting guys that fit. And it takes a few years to do. Minnesota now in year three under PJ Fleck, who's 5-8 in year one, 7-6 in year two. They scored points late, which I thought was encouraging. They beat Wisconsin, then they beat Georgia Tech in the bowl game. A lot of that offense is back. Minnesota is a candidate to maybe get to that 9-win area. And in the Big Ten West, maybe that's going to be enough. So between Minnesota, Purdue, and Nebraska, there's a lot of optimism, but they still have some things to prove.
Yeah.
Iowa is pretty well proven of what they want to do. Huge offensive lineman, huge defensive lineman. They got a quarterback in Nate Stanley, who I do believe has some ceiling. A.J. Epenesa is an All-America candidate. They've got a lot of that backfield back. They need to produce on offense in the absence of tight ends T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant. They both are off to the NFL. They look built to go 8-4 once again. That's the Iowa way. That's the Kirk Ferentz way. And then down in Illinois, year four for Levy Smith, 9-27 in 3 years. I'd like to call Illinois the Rutgers of the West. There's not a lot of hope there. I think he's built the roster to be okay, but they don't really have an answer at quarterback. The defense is back, but I just wonder, does Levy Smith have a clue what it takes to win at the college football level now? You know, has that game passed him by? Is he going to be looking for a new job after or at some point
probably
during the 19 season?
Probably should be looking for one now.
Yeah,
quite frankly,
I don't know that Illinois is going to put up much of a fight in this Big Ten West. Which otherwise, there's a chance for some real parity here, which is the opposite, I think, of the Big Ten East. You could see another team besides Wisconsin win that West division. And again, what does winning the Big Ten West if you're going to get blown out
right in
the Big Ten championship game? So there you go. We're going to keep going with our preview, looking at Penn State's roster, defensive ends. That's coming up after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.